little soca.
Cool. That was a good rendition of your guy. Whatever his name is, the one who got blasted out of the sky on Order 66.
Plo Koon.
Plo Koon. There you go, man. Cool. Justin here. Bradley. Gen X Reverb. We're ready. It's Sunday evening, 6:39 p.m. Sunday, September 3rd. We're getting ready to live stream Ahsoka. You've all probably seen it. We're gonna go ahead and do that. Oh yeah, episode. You're right, man. Wait a minute. No. It's season 1, episode 2, part 2? That's weird. No. It's okay, so I was right. So, it's part 3, Bradley. Episode 3. And they call it part 3. Time to fly. That's when we're going to get ready to live stream. Time to fly. Okay, man. You got your link. You click on your link. And for you listeners there, as Bradley does all that, just so you know, I have two nieces over here in the living room right now. So they're just hanging out with my daughters. One of my younger brothers is in there playing video games and stuff. So if you hear any kids yelling and screaming, that's my kids and my nieces.
Jump in, man.
Here we go, man.
So actually, let's set some ground rules. So I just wanted to make sure. Are you okay with us pausing the show to talk about it? Because we're not going to be able to. What are we doing? Are we keeping it low? We can hear it in one ear. And at the same time, talk over the show, or are we pausing it throughout to give our 2 cents on what just took place?
We can definitely pause it. So just hit the pause and let's commentate, man.
Okay.
Let's hit the pause button whenever we need to. And okay, cool. All right. Stream starting now. All right, man. Sorry, I'm in control here. This is Justin. I'm gonna go ahead and pause that real quick.
Absolutely, because I have something to say too, man.
Jump go, in. Go. Jump. Go.
Dude. Bradley. Okay. Look, these guys. Okay. So this what we just got through watching was the episode recapped episode 2 for the Empire. Dude, shut up.
Yeah. You're about we're to Ahsoka get and Hera. We're in the control room with the captain, the scrapper. Guy and
Captain
that guy,
Scrappy,
one of the Empire covert Empire guy, says for the Empire. I always find it hilarious how Star Wars has they have Jedis with lightsabers and they never slice people directly in half,
which is good.
No,
it's for kids.
We
but
can't.
I get you.
Yeah, we can't have that. It would be extremely morbid and violent and just gruesome. But it's like this is not real, man. That guy would have been in pieces. On the floor.
Yeah,
and
we don't want that, but you're wondering, right? You're sitting there going like, wow, okay, this dude just tried to shoot you. I get you, man. But when he said, for the Empire, I'm like, really, bro? You're that vested in the Empire.
Why? See, and that can actually, when we port that over to real life, it begins to become something of people that are for the state and political and stuff. So we don't want to get into all that.
Right. I will say this, just for the sake of time, this Sith that they're showing in the recap here, where Ahsoka fought him on the floor of whatever, where were we at here? Han Solo's home planet?
Yeah.
Corellia. That guy looks pretty cool. He does look like a medieval knight now that I'm looking directly at him as you pause him on the screen, but he still looks cool. And then, again, hearkening back to episode 3 where Grievous is droid guys, they use the same exact sound effect. Really cool. Okay, that's all I have to say. Moving on.
Sweet. Here we go.
I gotta pause it.
Oh, you have the power too.
I have the power.
Okay.
I have the fulls.
Cool.
The choreography there. Sorry, man. That's just too slow. Rosario Dawson is not good for this, man. She's just way too slow for a Jedi. That's all I'm saying from that recap. All right, moving on.
I guess we kind of can talk a little bit here as the episode progresses. We have a Lucasfilm shining and all the droid helmets, Darth Vader. It's pretty cool. That was a nice effect that Disney brought.
Yeah, and it's different for each show. So those are all the ones from this show. This music is sweet.
That's a good job they're doing here. All right, let me pause it here. This is Justin pausing it here. Nice little scene we got with the droid that trains. And I'm pretty sure that when some dudes seen this, man, they geeked out just on the verbiage that he's using. Mm-hmm. That me and you couldn't care any less about or know about, like probably the different Jedi stances or fighting styles and things. They probably read it in comic books and different lore throughout the Star Wars universe. And yay, hey, nice touch, guys. Good job. I wouldn't say that Ahsoka's Padawan, what's her name?
Sabine Wren.
Sabine Wren, she's really skinny. She would get pounded.
Yeah.
She would get pounded, man. I don't even know if her skill level would matter. She would get pounded. She's a string bean.
When me and Tracy first got married, she watched Alias. I'm going to talk really quickly because this point is just simple. I used to always ask her that. Like, dude, do you really seriously think Sydney Bristow would be able to beat these guys up? She's a lithe, skinny little thing, a string bean, like you just said. So, yeah, that's going to be a running theme. My question at this point in the beginning of the episode, I'm going to go ahead and say 10 out of 10 as far as the sound effects and the intro there. Yep. That was really well done. Is she going to use the Force? Because that's really her saving grace. This saber stuff, she's not really good, in my opinion. But anyway, you know, that's a completely different conversation. Let's go.
Here we go.
Okay, I have to pause it there.
Yeah, because, I mean, if she's supposed to be a Jedi, what do you mean? What do you need to see? You can use the Force. Go ahead, Brad.
That's a tired trope. We got that in episode 4, New Hope. We're done. Don't use that trope anymore. We got it with Leia.
Recycled.
Leia had her mask
garbage.
On, too.
Garbage.
Just stop recycling stuff. Come up with something new. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Please pause it back, though. Since we're on that point, I do want to say I agree with Hu Yang. Listeners, Hu Yang is saying she's basically, Sabine Wren is the worst Jedi. And I'm like, yeah, that's 100% correct. And I like the fact that Hu Yang is just logical. Like, get your stinky emotions out of here. They're worthless at this point. Can we just get some pure logic going on? You're not good at this. Now, where do we go from here?
Right.
So let's see where they go. Okay.
And I, so you already see where this is going then. Since she's the worst Jedi, then she's going to be the best.
Yeah, she's going to be the best. Ugh.
Just you watch. All right, let's
Grody
go.
To the max. Here we go.
Okay, I'm going to pause it there. So just to set up for our listeners, I'm realizing we're not really telling them what we're watching. But clearly, if you've seen episode 3.
Please don't listen to this unless you've seen it. Yeah, please. Okay, go ahead, Brad.
There's always spoilers. We don't need to tell them that they're spoilers. But they're still inside the ship. They're training. In this scene, what they're doing is this is a call to Kendo. The mask is a Kendo mask. The sword, the Japanese sound to the music. I appreciate that, but I don't need real life stuff in my Star Wars. But okay, this is definitely Kendo.
Correct. And I mean, what else can they pull from? This is Justin here. I mean, come on. To the making of many books, there is no end, and much devotion to them is wearisome to the flesh, to the soul. This is the same concept. I mean, we've seen this before with Daniel's son. This is the same thing. No, and I'm not making fun of it. That's great. But I mean, we've seen it. And that's my daughter knocking on the door. But let's go ahead and unpause that, Brad.
Okay, I can't hold back from this. This is what I don't like about Rosario Dawson's portrayal of Ahsoka. Is the way she just said that line. The balance and everything is how da-da-da. It sounds like she's reading a haiku. Emotionless, with no emotion. That's not Ahsoka Tano. Mm-mm. I get that she's trying to like purge herself of feeling, which according to episode 6 was not the way, because Luke shut down the Jedi Order. Here goes Ahsoka still doing Jedi stuff, which is great, but why does she talk like that? Why does she talk so stoically? I don't have feeling, I don't have emotion, and I'm so quiet. Please explain to me where Ahsoka Tano got so tired. It does not match. Anyway,
Coors,
okay, continuing on.
Coors Light, Milwaukee Brew. Wait, no. Pause that, because we got to answer the questions you just had. Sorry. So, listeners, I personally, again, still, I just can't really care too much that they chose Rosario Dawson. This is Justin here. I just can't, because it's live action. You can't really choose anybody. There's no one you can choose that can actually be the Ahsoka Tano from the cartoon. So I've given up mentally on caring how she's treating the character, because
that just makes me mad. Like, just can they pick somebody that has some coffee? That
right.
Drink some?
Correct, because Ahsoka had, she had zest, she had energy, and Rosario Dawson Rosario, you're not giving it any sauce and zest. You're giving it plenty of peyote smoke and relaxation and marijuana weed.
Put some Heinz 57 on that burger, man. Let's get some zest.
Yeah. So okay, this is another thing I want to bring up, listeners. This is Justin. I What time period is this again?
Where we're at?
Yeah, where is Luke? What is he? Is he a boy?
Luke is still young. Yes, the Empire has been destroyed. So this is after Empire Strikes Back, but before episode. This is before he becomes old Old bum Luke.
Old drunken, homeless.
Coors Light Luke. Cool, yeah.
Drizzling down his beard. Yeah, man. It's like, bro, that's cool and refreshing after the first three. After that, it's done, bro. You're done. You just calm down. Yeah, I don't like the fact, well, this is my gripe about Star Wars, the fact that you have to wonder where you are in the stream of time. I know that I could just go get a timeline and post it on my my wall as I watch it and be like, oh, okay, this is where we are. This is where we are. There we go. To me, it's like, dude, we're done. We already know the ending. And again, to your point, we were just talking with our brother-in-law, Ian, and our sister, Brittany, and Andor gets the pass. The series Andor gets the pass because they're actually telling a compelling story, even though we know how it ends. Their storytelling is so good in Andor. We don't really need all the backstory, but we're taking it because it's actually entertaining. Outside of Andor, we need to get past all of this. Like, don't keep going back further in time, which Star Wars, Disney Star Wars, I believe they're planning on doing. Going way back to when Yoda was a young man or something like that. I don't know. It's just like,
way back when Yoda was a wee little whatever they're called. Whatever his planet is, we're going to find out what it is. And it's going to be a fun little ride. We're going to make a ride at Disneyland with little yodelings.
Yodelings. Bro, why can't they just tell us what Grogu and Yoda and Yaddle are? Why can't they just say it? Like,
There's a payoff coming for those who wait patiently, okay?
No thanks. Here's the thing. Just like us getting ready to see Bo-Katan ride the Mythosaur, it's not going to be a big payoff. It's not going to be special, guys.
Well, we weren't talking about for you. We were talking about for us here at Disney.
Oh, at Disney. There's no. Oh, you're talking about in your real pockets. I see what you're saying. The payoff for all the Gen Zers, all the Gen Xers, all of us, everybody. We're all going to keep paying our money to whether it's rides. Okay, we're beating a dead horse. We're moving on to the next scene of part three, Time to Fly, after she gets with her first lesson. Let's move on. Here we go. Oh, okay. The beginning.
I'm going to have to say that music is nice. The Ahsoka theme music is nice, and the way they just jumped in, that's cool.
Yeah, that is.
I like that.
Part three, Time to Fly. Man, it's good music. Great music.
Is it Ludwig Göransson?
No. Somebody else.
It's somebody else. Yep. Okay. Okay, so A-Wings.
A-Wings. Oh, this is the fleet.
The fleet. There we go. Awesome. That looks good.
The Admiral Akbarian. Oh, there we go. We have a shrimp. What do you call those? A shrimptarian?
Shrimptarians, man. I don't know what they're called, but yeah, there we go.
Crustaceans.
We're on Home One. That's what that ship is called. Okay, so
I don't even like the fact that Mon Mothma knows who Chopper is. We don't need that connection. Please,
that just takes Andor down. Yeah,
don't Andor's be connected. Don't know about them. Get Mon Mothma. That don't sully her with Chopper. Ugh.
Yeah, I agree.
Who's Jason? Yeah, who's Jason Bradley?
It must be her son. That must be her son. Okay, so just so you know, just to catch you up, in Rebels, she is in a relationship, a relationship that's kind of gross because she's not a human. And for some reason, it sells, I guess Twi'leks and humans can mate and have kids, which is really weird to me because their biologies aren't the same, I would assume.
Yeah, but this is Star Wars.
Fictional universe.
Yeah, exactly. So it works.
In this fictional universe, it works. And so her mate, her significant other was Kanan Jarrus, who was the little kid on the opening episode of
Kanan Jarrus. Yeah, listeners know who he is. Yeah, yeah, we know who Kanan Jarrus is. But this disgusts me. Valana Torres from Star Trek. This is getting on my last nerve. Stop mating with humans. Who's also is a half a human? Spock.
Spock.
Come on, guys.
We should not mention that universe.
Man,
within
with this
one.
But still, that's
you're
the tie
about
over,
science
though.
Fiction.
That's the tie over because I mean, tell me who else is half? I think this is new to Star Wars. Who else is half?
Well, it was in Clone Wars when the clone left and he was with a Twi'lek on that one planet.
Yes,
those
he was
two
with
little
the Twi'lek.
Kids.
The bald one, the receding one, the cul-de-sac head who decided not to shave his entire hair off. He just kept it. Okay, he's like, I'm a farmer now, so who cares? My wife can shoot a shotgun and I'm happy with my Twi'lek
so
wife.
So at this point, in this scene, we're on Home One, which is really interesting because Mon Mothma, I think this is the right age that she was even in episode 6, The Return of the Jedi.
Return of the
that
Jedi.
That was Mon Mothma. So here we go. Empire has been defeated. We're there, right? This is where we're at.
And she looks happy, by the way. She looks like all her stresses have been relieved. So she doesn't look all plagued with political problems at this point. She looks free. She's probably not married to that guy anymore. She's probably just all by herself, right?
The gambler.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, Taryn, I think his name, or something like that. Anyway, I'm by the way, listeners, I'm rewatching Andor right now, and it's a pleasing watch. It's a nice, once you watch Obi-Wan and you watch, I don't know, any other Star Wars, you just like, let me go ahead and watch some Andor, because I can't get any entertainment out of the other ones. So it's a very entertaining watch. I encourage you to go back and watch that. Go ahead.
And can I boast about Genevieve O'Reilly, I think her name is?
100%. She's a stupendous actress. Go ahead, Bradley.
I've never seen her in anything else that I could think of. I'm not about to boast about her outside of Andor, but in Andor as Mon Mothma, home run, man. I mean,
grand slam.
The stakes are high with her, man. So let's see what happens here. Let's go ahead and keep watching. And the three-eyed guys. Yeah, we're on home one.
Oh, the three eyed guys that talk like, how do they talk?
How do you understand that, man? Okay. What's his name? Senator Organa understood him perfectly in episode two or three, man. Like, he just snorted and snaffled, and then Senator
Organa.
No bacon
Organa and sausage in my breakfast burrito. What? They at least got the freshly squeezed orange juice, right? No orange juice. Okay, anyway,
he said the emperor outlawed bacon and orange. No, anyway, let's go, man. Go.
Okay, we're unpausing and here we go.
Okay, so I'm gonna pause it there.
Go ahead, get after it, man.
That was good writing. I don't know where you're going here, what you want to say, but I'm gonna say that was good writing.
Agreed. Justin, agreed.
Obviously, Mon Mothma's presence does a lot to the scene, but then General Syndulla, she does a lot to the scene. How she calls out Senator Ziono. Man, all you did was just wait for the fighting to end. Have you ever been in a war? Great questions.
Yeah.
Because this, and here we go again. I think this is the age-old story of war, and they're just using this scene to tell the story of how war works. The generals just wait. They don't fight. When the cookies crumble, they pick up the pieces and they go from there and they just profit. What were you going to say?
I was going to say excellent writing. You are 100% correct. I don't know how this is good writing. I definitely think that Genevieve O'Reilly is making the stakes higher. She's providing tension by being quiet, her quietness. The woman who's playing Hera Syndulla, she's providing a lot
Mary
of tension.
Elizabeth Winstead.
Winstead is providing tension with her concern for who Thrawn as a threat. And then there's even more tension with these other senators next to Mon Mothma. They're kind of like, nah, we don't believe you. So there's so much like tension. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is good. This is good writing. Okay. You know, and we're reviewing this in real time here, folks. So, I mean, we could change our mind later, which was what happened with episode 9. So of start the entire, you know, the movie Star Wars.
The theatrical release. Yeah, this right here, the filmography. I think from episode 1 to here, the production value was really good. I'm really in love with the throwback to Home One in episode 4 and 6. So they're doing a good job there. They're hitting the nostalgia buttons perfectly. And the actors and actresses are doing perfectly. I think this scene is one of the best scenes. All right, let's continue. Okay, so am I the only one that's confused? So now here goes Jason, played by Evan Witten. He's Harrison Dula's son. He looks like a human.
Yeah, I'm looking.
Is that confusing to you as well?
A little confusing, but I mean, I guess that's fine. Because again, let's see if it takes away from the story or not. There's so much we have to ignore.
I'm going to ignore it. I just that's the first thing that came into my head. Like, well,
like, who is this little chump? Oh, this is your. He's yours. Oh man, your parents must be disappointed. He has no things. And they probably still have French accents too.
Hello, what are you doing?
Yeah, like, why did they make it French? Like, as if that's gonna change. Well, anyway, who cares?
Yeah.
Okay, so and that's on the Clone Wars for those of you who don't know. But anyway,
and Bad Batch. Bad Batch is really where you get a huge dose of Hera Syndulla's parents and her. younger.
Oh, and that's right.
That's
season
recent,
one.
By the way. Just so you know, that's recent, listeners. That's not even like it's 5 years old. That came out last year. So it's really irritating. And I would love to know, even though the animation is great on those episodes, I would really love to know what were you all thinking? What kind of political struggles, power struggles were happening at LucasArts for these characters to get French accents?
They're allies.
Right.
Just like France is a real ally to the United States.
Yeah. And I get it. I know that Macron. the original chubby one from whatever episode one, two, or three.
All three of them, I think, yeah.
They put him into the actual Clone Wars. It's the same guy. Okay, so he has a French accent. No problem. Harrison Dula's mom? No problem. We're not going to see her again. Her dad? Okay. Oh, the rest of them all do. But now Hera has one. But it's like, dude, we already know who Hera is, and we've heard her. She does not have a French accent on Rebels. So, again, this just like Jason, her son, doesn't have the Twi'lek barbs, that's okay. Let's move forward and see if we can get some good acting. Chopper needs to be
dismantled.
Dismantled. Just scrap that droid immediately. But
wipe his memory and throw him in the trash compactor. By the way, those are Mon Calamari. I just wanted to say that. The alien standing next to
Calamari. I was like, what food are their race, man? I was like, they're
lobster boys.
Yeah, lobster bisque. Papadol platter boys. What are they? Oh, Mon Calamari. There we go. Got it. Yeah, Papadol platter, right? Man, I can't wait to go back to Papadol's. You know, we need to go. That's a side note, and that's also not endorsed by Gen X Reverb, man. Papadol's is not endorsed, but you know, anyway, go to genxreverb.com/Papadol's.
Yeah. All right, let's keep going.
Okay, here we go. All right,
pausing it right there. That answers my question. She's saying right there, this is the scene where Sabine Wren is telling Ahsoka, I can't feel the Force. I can't use it. I don't feel it like you do. If she's not Force sensitive, man. All right, let's keep going.
No, don't keep going, because this is like real life, man. Let's talk about our personalities. Everybody's personalities are different, man. So what do you think? If I were her trainer, if I were there in Ahsoka's place, what would I tell Sabine?
You'd be like, oh, well, we'll just get you on the next ship on back to to Lothal and okay.
No hard feelings. Okay, no worries. See ya.
Yeah.
I'll go find a Padawan who actually is strong in the Force. And if I don't find a Padawan, even better. I'm going to go drink some mojitos and just go relax on that planet that Andor was on.
Oh, when he got arrested. Yeah, man, drinking some mojitos. But here's the thing. Yeah, that's just it. Problem solved. Oh, wait. You don't have Force sensitivity? Oh, well, why don't you use your guns? You're a Mandalorian. Just use your weapons that you constantly use. And you could just be my backup.
Yeah.
All right, we're done.
Yeah,
here.
How is this a dilemma? You by the way, you know you get on my nerves, right? Just so you know, I'm gonna get you off this ship ASAP. Anyway, no, I would.
That's what you would say. I got
yeah,
you.
I probably wouldn't say that. I would probably act like that though, like but anyway. Okay.
All right, let's go. Cool. Okay.
Okay, so she called Ahsoka by her first name. Now we're in a master apprentice role here. But because Ahsoka's not a Jedi anymore, I guess it's like, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. You can go ahead and call me Ahsoka. Big deal. And I'm just like, nah, don't call me Ahsoka. You call me Master. And you're not good with the Force. I already don't like you, just so you know.
That's what you would say. Yeah. That's how you would feel if you were Justin, the Jedi Master.
Like, you don't have the Force. Like, you don't have to be good with the saber. You don't even have to be good with the saber at all. Like, you don't need that. But you don't have the Force. Why are you here? Get out of here.
Yeah, go home, take some spray cans and go spray some stuff up. Make some art on Lothal. Because, that's what she's known for. She's an artist, and she leaves her house Wren marking everywhere. So it's like, yeah, go mark up some more buildings in Lothal and build the morale of people who want to stay resolved to follow the way of the rebellion so that we can make sure to stamp out any Empire.
Yeah. Yeah, when they see her walk in the Home Depot, the paint section, they kind of tense up. You know, when she walks in, they're like, oh, here she comes. You know you can't have any more spray cans, lady. You have to be 18 or older to purchase bacon from us.
She might be their best customer. Home Depot on low fall. I'm sorry, Nat. Everything that Ahsoka just told Sabine Wren in that scene completely contradicts everything that happened to Rey in episodes 7, 8, and 9.
Okay. And she just said, start small with the Force. Some people are unwilling to try or something. I don't know what she says. She definitely said some people have talent, and Ahsoka definitely has talent. It was given to her. She was born with talent, as we clearly saw when she was a baby in the recent cartoon episodes. Ahsoka is a gifted Jedi. She's gifted with the Force.
Right. So here they're contradicting canon. They're saying basically that the Jedi Temple on Coruscant was established to help Force-sensitive kids. They would go around the galaxy in the Clone Wars. Some Force sensitive kids over here on this garbage planet. Let's get them. Come on. Let's go, guys. No, let's go to the temple and clean you guys up.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what they did in Clone Wars. Here, she's saying the Force is in everyone. Anyone can do it. And the main factor is if you have hard work and discipline. Now, if that was a PSA on a billboard somewhere.
I think that's what they're doing is a PSA, man.
Okay. I don't like it.
I think that's where they're going. True. They're basically saying, all these people, all you Gen, who were we talking about? Gen Zers? Is that who we're saying likes this probably the most? Gen Z?
Just whatever generation. Yeah, millennials and Xennials and Gen Z. Yeah, who are the next guys?
Yeah, so we're Xennials. We're Xennials, right?
Xennials. I don't know what we are, actually. GXR.
Because
this podcast is called Gen X Reverb, we're going to go with Gen X. But yeah, I think we're Xennials.
Yeah, we're Xennials. So, and I can just say Xennials only because it's an X in the front. And that's usually pronounced with a Z. And that's the ones who are like at the very end of Gen X, who bridge Generation X to Generation Y, the millennials. And what happens is with all of us, it doesn't matter what generation you come from, there's people who don't like to try. And that they just think they can skate by on almost nothing because they get irritated because there's a lot of people in their generation that actually are getting by on their talent because they are actually naturally talented. But here's a fact, and I do agree with what Ahsoka said. It's practice, though. No matter how much talent you have, if you practice like crazy, you're going to be good. And that is a fact.
I think that's what she's saying, and she's saying that's not the key, though. I think we're in agreement that that's what Ahsoka's saying. The key is not talent. The key is working hard, which, yes, in real life, that's the case. But we're watching a fictional story in which we've been told for years that the key is you need midichlorians. You need to be the offspring.
Yes, oh my goodness, that is so true. You need to have hundreds of millions of midichlorian. Yeah, see, they're not following the blueprint.
You already made a movie in which the push broom kid at the end of Star Wars Episode 8, push broom kid, come on. He's got midichlorians,
he's got
obviously.
1.5 billion midichlorians coursing through his blood, man.
All right, let's continue. Let's continue.
Wait, one last thing. Man, I was going to say in the previous scene, I had it. I just had it about Mon Mothma. I'll get back to it when I come up with that thought. Go ahead. Let's unpause it. Oh, that's what I was going to say. Okay, so while you're having technical difficulties and refreshing everything, click your link and all that stuff. Come on back. I have time to talk about Ezra Bridger. I like the actress Mary Louise Elizabeth Ellsworth. What's her name?
Sabine Wren. Mary.
No, the one.
Oh, no. Harrison Dula. Yeah.
Harrison Dula. There you go. Her facial expression and her voice when they talked about Ezra Bridger was like
great acting. Yeah.
And I'm like, but next in my brain was like, but wait, why? Why do you care about this guy? He was a whiny bum. I need to know why you care about him. Now I want to see this guy. Now I want to see him, his real life character. I bet you anything, the actor is going to make sure that nobody can hate him like they did the cartoon character.
Probably. Let's hope. What we got of him already. Oh, did I close it on my window?
The Luke Skywalker sounding Ezra Bridger. He was like, yes. Hey, Sabine, I'm here now. I now have new Jedi powers and I'm going to use them for good. Don't worry. Everything will be fine. I'm mature now and I don't get upset. And I don't whine. Whining is for babies.
Most importantly, I don't whine. As a matter of fact, I'm even killed at all times.
At all times.
Punch me in the tummy, I won't react. I'll probably make you some food. Yeah. I picked up on that too.
Yeah, he was just like straight up relaxed. Like, this is not Ezra Bridger from the cartoon. This is so okay. Cool.
Yeah, they dialed him back, man, because he was straight up getting on people's nerves. All right, let's go. It is not working. What is going on here?
You just unpaused it, and it unpaused for me. How about I jump out? I'm going to jump out. We're at the 1325. Yeah, 1325. Let's do a refresh.
Hey, guys. I heard a lot of you were annoyed by how I kept whining constantly. So I was rewritten. I'm a now well-balanced character who never gets angry, ever.
And I also encourage you to read books, kind of like LeVar Burton from Reading Rainbow. The next book right, on our list, you in?
Yep, go.
Okay. Is it playing?
Yep.
Cool, there we go. They're on the ship going light speed now.
So just so you know, right there, I won't pause it, but that's live action. That's actual animatronics, like at Disneyland, of Hu Yang. Okay, so just to recap there on the conversation between Ahsoka and Hu Yang, traditional trope. I just want you to be yourself. I don't want her to be a Jedi. I want her to be herself. Okay. Yep. We've heard this before already.
Put her in one of those cryo tubes. Shoot her off into space then so we can advance this plot, player. Young people are eating this up, though. This is the thing. Young people are. This
want
is their,
me to be myself?
Not only that, this is their young times. If we were 10, 11, 12, 13, 15, 20, maybe.
100%.
We would be like, dude, this is sick.
Whoa, bro.
She was going to move it. She was going to move the coffee cup. She was going to do it. So I give that to them.
100%.
Writers have
correct.
To remember
like
that. Writers do good and remember that. Now, it's not going to be for you and I. Me and you are just going to be like a hard eye roll. Like, bro, we've seen this already. We know this already. But they're like, bro, this you had your time. You had your Ninja Turtles and your stuff back in the day.
And you guys need to learn the important lesson of being your true self.
Nah, I'm good. General Grievous ships.
Oh, is that what that is? I thought there was Naboo fighters. And unpause man. So before Bradley unpauses it, he's talking about this Sith apprentice. Excuse me, Rogue Jedi apprentice is now in a General Grievous ship along with like three other or four or six other ships.
We'll see. But yeah, as soon as those dirty taxi yellow colored rust bucket General Grievous ships, it's just like, nah, that ship was ugly in episode 3, man. Don't bring that mess back, but here we go.
What do you call that? A constable? What do you call that? A colonizer?
What do you mean?
Ephedrizer? Man, the guys with the blades. It's like
the Inquisitor.
The Inquisitor. I was going to say Spanish.
The Inquisitions,
yeah. So the Inquisitor, he's piloting one of them as well. I think it's a guy. Anyway, here we go.
Is he an Inquisitor? He just has on a helmet,
but he has
he's about to slay a dragon for.
Yeah, he looks like Hattori Hanzo. He looks like Hattori Hanzo from Samurai Showdown.
Mm.
And also, he has an Inquisitor blade though, Bradley. He has
the little the spinnies.
That's an Inquisitor blade, yeah. Which to me, by the way, side point is good, but also bad. Darth Vader, you think he would have did that? Trained all those? Anyway, I don't know. It's possible. It's possible. Okay, here we go.
Well, there you go. Not to beat a dead horse, but that's what I was saying in the last episode where it was just me and you. You're burdening the story down with way too many details, too much lore. Stop adding. The Inquisitors are good, but they were really an unnecessary burden. But let's keep going. Let's see what's going on here. Okay, I'm going to keep talking while this scene is going. This is a callback to episode 4, A New Hope. She's Luke. He's Han. She's Han. Ahsoka is Han.
100%.
Wait, can I pause this, man? Why is Hu Yang in the back seat now?
Oh, yeah, he wasn't in the back seat. He's just in the... I hope he just got up really quick. I think that's what happened. He got up. Let's keep watching it, man. Let's go. Okay, you know we got to pause it right there. Okay, we wanted to let that play. I could tell you wanted to let it roll before we started commentating on all that stuff because there's a lot to take in. We just witnessed the battle. So there's a big ring thing that, what's her name?
Morgan Elsbeth.
Morgan Elsbeth is in. Bad. That was bad. That was bad. First of all, you don't need... The scene was great, by the way. The scene was great, but the fact that that big, gigantic Halo ring ship can't take out a little baby, tiny cruiser, no. If you guys weren't so bad at your job, we wouldn't have a TV show. If you weren't so bad at your job, but you are bad at your job, so we continue.
Thankfully,
thankfully, we can now continue to watch Ahsoka and Sabine get through this journey.
What's the point of a droid, right? When she asks, "Did we destroy them?" She literally said, "Did we destroy them?" And the droid goes, "They're off our scope.
They're off our scope." What is your job? You don't know? How do you? Okay, man. Oh my goodness, you're worthless, droid. Just scrap that guy. But Bradley, what? Why can't Star Wars stop making massive ships that don't have guns already pointing directly straight forward?
Just ready to go.
Hey,
prime the thruster cannons.
Oh my goodness! Why did they have to be primed? Can you just start shooting when I say shoot? Oh.
Yeah. They got to be primed, Captain. Did you not go to Empire school?
You gotta prime
these bad boys.
Yeah, you gotta prime. Oh, okay. Well, you know what? We're gonna have long movies then. If these can't prime, we're gonna have long sequences of people surviving. Next up, we have Rogue Jedi apprentice girl
Shin Hati.
Shin Hati,
played by Ivana Sakno.
If her aim, no, it wasn't even her aim, because her laser blasts were going directly into the tail end of Ahsoka's ship.
Yes.
I'm like, wait a minute. Guys,
how's that not destroying them?
That's not taking the thrusters out. She is lighting those thrusters up.
And if those lasers only have Kool-Aid in them, then this all makes
Kool-Aid.
Sense. That's just Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid, berry blue or something green Kool-Aid. It's just
lime green shots.
And it's like, dude, you guys, six of you. How do you not take Ahsoka and this other? I mean,
I can tell you. If their ships, if the power of your ship is determined by how ugly it is, like the uglier your ship is, the lower the power is, then that would explain why their lasers did very little. If the ships were prettier, perhaps they would have done some damage. Here's what I liked about that scene that saved it. Morgan Elsbeth did ask that dumb droid, "Hey, did we destroy them?" He gave a political answer. "They're off our scopes." I'm like, nope. That's not an answer.
You got to treat politicians. You got to treat droids and politicians like kids. I asked a yes or a no question. It's a yes or a no.
But the writers came in and were like, "Guys, we got to clean that up." And that's when Shin Hati, the Sith lady, was like,
Rogue Jedi.
That was pretty funny. Hey, good job, Morgan Elsbeth. Good job. Congratulations. You almost got him. I'll handle this. I was like, thank you.
Yeah.
The good thing somebody sees that Ahsoka and Sabine Wren are not done yet. Here's the thing that I did not like about that scene. The action was good. Looking at it through the eyes of a kid, which I think you hit the nail on the head earlier. That's what we have to do.
Bo and Duke Luke. Dukes of Hazzard, man, flying through the air.
Duke
Luke, that is
good
the
old
dumbest
boy.
Situation that could happen on Dukes of Hazzard. But man, we surely enjoyed it, even though
man, we're gonna see this 3,000-pound car fly through the air, man, and it's gonna land perfectly. Mm-hmm. So realistic. Ahsoka's spacesuit. There's absolutely zero need for her anatomical appendages of Togruta nature to have their own little sacks. There's 100% zero need for that.
I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, wait. Does she need a Togruta space sack suit? I was like, she looks clunky in that suit. She looks kind of goofy, but I mean,
it's for marketing, right? You got to have the little Togruta head shape. But it's like, wait, if you're thinking about this, if she just had a regular spacesuit, she could just stuff her little appendages into the suit.
Yeah,
she'd be good.
Stuff it in there. Stuff it down. Man, this is very uncomfortable, though. I don't like.
Stuff
a man, Ahsoka.
Cheesy to me. And I'm glad they kind of looked like they explained how she was in. So she went out into space with her sabers to chop down some and to reflect some lasers and to chop down some space guys that were coming at her. She won, obviously. But she's floating in space, and I'm like, how is she flipping from one part of the ship to the other? You're done. You're supposed to be out in the middle of nowhere. Interstellar taught us that. They did show us that. She's like, all right, once you're done, come and get me. Then when the ship wing came up, her space boots seemed to magnetically connect to the ship.
Then she was able to run on the ship, which almost seems impossible, but it's okay. Togrutas aren't real, so we're good.
There you go. Okay, so now we're on the planet. They're in the atmosphere of the planet that they came to, where the Halo Ring installation is.
Yeah, the Halo Ring with these space whales, these whales that float through the clouds, which are from the cartoon. And it's a huge two thumbs down for me, because they're doing some payoffs for Gen Y, Gen Z or whatever.
Gen Y.
These are Gen Z payoffs right here.
Gen Z.
Gen Z is who we're talking about, right? Okay. Gen Z is the one who's came up with this show, right? With Gen Zers are the what are they, the 18-year-olds?
Right now they're 18 probably.
Yeah, so they were watching this when they were 16. When they were 14, 15, 16.
And just boxing.
They're now doing backflips as they see these whales, see what's happening on this planet with these whales floating through the air, which I hope these whales have nothing to do with anything. Please fly.
I hope they fly past them and we just get a visual and we're done.
Let's see. Like, yeah.
Okay. Yep. We're done. Yeah. A little treasure planet payoff there. Nice.
Treasure planet had the same thing. So unoriginal, right?
Okay. So we're still flying by them. We see an eye. These aren't the same things from Solo.
No, those were in space.
So this is a completely different species, but it's ginormous.
Yeah. They were on a couple of episodes
of Rebels.
I fell asleep seeing these whale things and at Ezra. Hey, whales, what are you doing?
Hey. Oh, and Grogu and Din Djarin flew past some in light speed.
That light
on
speed.
Mandalorian, episode 3.
But those were in space, though, not in atmosphere.
So those are different. These are in the atmosphere.
They may be the same, because that's how they make money. Is you keep it all the same. Everybody knows everybody. All the species are all known by everybody.
Is this the same thing Obi-Wan was mining on Tatooine? They were cutting up nice little salmon cuts, square cuts of salmon.
Bro, how many months did it take them to finish that thing off, man? Anyway, that thing was huge. Maybe.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's this creature.
Maybe this is the connection. They're trying to make Obi-Wan relevant, right? Somehow.
No, because that actually was in the actual lore. That was in the books. That creature was in the books. And that was for the book nerds who follow it really hard. You couldn't have got that from any actual theatrical releases, having that big squid thing land in Tatooine. So I'm thinking that that's what these are. We'll find out.
By the way, before you unpause it, I just want to say, man, shout out to the book nerds, man. I know how you guys feel, man. And I really do. I remember.
That wasn't used pejoratively, by the way. We're book nerds, too. We're just not as, we don't go as heavily as you guys.
Yeah, we don't go as heavily because we have gone as heavily before. We've read books and things before, and we have been immersed. I know you have, Bradley. I have been immersed in books before, to the point where I was like, dude, I wish this could be real. I have done that. Mm-hmm. But I've since gotten past that. And I kind of wish my mind could still be on that same track to where these movies would feel good, to where these books would, everything would feel great. But you just get to a point where you're just like, nah, I'm good. Reality's kind of cool.
I got you.
Yeah,
you lose that childhood innocence, the ability to suspend reality. We had that in spades when we were kids.
Yeah,
when you become an adult and you become more, what's the word?
You have it beaten out of you, just like Peter Banning. You have it beaten out of you.
Peter Banning, who in the
Peter Banning, Robin Williams' version of Peter Pan. His real life name was Peter Banning.
Oh, and Ken, you guys are getting a nice little shout out here.
Shout out Ken and Karen. Peter Pan. Hook. Ken and Karen's favorite movie. Hook. Wait, let me put a little Hoskin in there. I had to put that little Bob Hosk.
Hoskin.
Okay, cool. All right, let's move on, man. Here we go. No, we can pause it there. That was dumb.
Yeah, that was absolutely dumb. I hate that.
That's for the kids. You stop flying through the whale's tentacles and just get away from them. Fly, go take a hard left. Get out of there.
Don't go straight.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's not the only option. Wait, we got to get out of here. Ooh, no. It's almost going to close. No, it's not. You can go left or right.
Yeah.
I get you on that, man. Ooh, I hate that.
Another thing I've been wanting to mention this whole time is that look up who the artist is for the music. Forget his name. I know he's very popular. But I do like how he's keeping it straight up John Williams. I like how he's just get your signature, whatever your signature is. And by the way, only people who like classical music and study it, composers, arrangers, musicians of classical, only you guys care. Trust me, only you guys. We don't care. We just know. And by the way, it's Kevin Kiner. So he's the complete Clone Wars. He's done all of them. Kevin Kiner, excellent job, bro. For now, what you are doing is you are giving us full blown John Williams. You're just saying,
and that's what we want, by the way.
That's what we want. We don't want anything else. Don't give us anything original. We don't want it.
Andor somehow takes the gamble. Just I want to put this in here. I don't like the music in Andor, but I do like it. It tells you, it's basically saying, hey, this is not Star Wars. Then by the time it mixes with the show, you're like, wow.
It's too Tron.
This is Star Wars.
It's too Tron. It's very Tron.
Yeah, but it's still done Daft well. Punk. It's not Star Wars at first. But to your point, Kevin Kiner is paying tribute to John Williams. Yeah, stay right here.
Because when the 1950s Star Cruisers, you know, when they showed up, that's what they're riding in, right? These General Grievous 1950s hot rod.
These taxis, man. Space taxis.
Coke floats, Reuben sandwiches with chili cheese fries. They got it all, man. They got it all. It's happening. It's like, okay, well, if you're bringing in all this George Lucas, all the stuff that he loves and wants, man, bring the entire soundtrack over. So good on you guys for bringing it with the good John
on you,
Williams.
Mate.
Yeah. Okay, here we go.
Wait. I have to pause it. I've got an opening out of the wells.
Yeah, it's just adding to the episode.
Just like, stop. Okay, I won't beat that dead horse. Let's keep going.
Thought you were force sensitive, chump. You don't know where they are?
Exactly.
If you're so
He's referring to
the apprentice and
Marak.
Marak
is Guinevere, Prince Guinevere and Princess Guinevere, Helmet Head.
Yeah.
And then Shin Hati is the Jedi Sith lady.
Rogue Jedi.
Gonna have to say Hu Yang is his excellent voice acting. Yeah. David Tennant.
Yeah. Very nice trees on this planet, all red. Red trees. That's cool. Reddish orange. It's perpetual autumn, or maybe it's just this time of year.
I was gonna say the same thing. Yeah, perpetual autumn.
Mm. I like this.
Yeah, nice CGI on landing there. So I'm just going to reiterate, yeah, this is definitely Han Solo, Luke type relationship, or even Yoda Luke here. No, not really Yoda.
No, not
the
Yoda.
Scene of Dagobah.
Yeah, it just sounds like Dagobah. But it's definitely Han Luke. It's Han and Chewie and C-3PO and Princess Leia for sure inside
Empire
the worm.
Empire Strikes Back, yeah.
Inside the worm on the asteroid. That's what this feels like.
Yeah, the Empire searching for Han and all them on the asteroids. Yeah, there you go. Now they're out.
Those are too dogfightery, by the way. Those it's too dogfightery.
Way too human-y looking. Yeah, World War II airplanes. And there you go. I'm gonna pause it right there. It's.
Oh, C-3PO did get turned off on that movie.
He sure
did.
He
got turned off. Hu Yang got turned off and turned back on.
Hu Yang got turned off. Yeah.
Okay.
Man. I'm gonna need the comparisons to stop. I need this to stop. Don't do that. Don't just take Star Wars stories that have already been written and then rewrite those and put them in different orders.
Otherwise, you're just J.J. Abrams. I mean, come on, guys. We already learned your lesson. But here's the thing. Disney wants what they want. The share owners want what they want, man. And you got
to
remember
they know
that.
How to get it. And they're doing a good job at it because there's a lot of boomers out there who grew up on Star Wars who are like, oh, yeah, I don't even know why I like this. And Disney's like, well, you know why you like it. We're feeding you subconsciously exactly what you've seen before. Mm-hmm. Okay, whatever. All right. Good acting, by the way. That's the same.
Yang. It's good, man. Hu Yang.
Hu Yang.
Hu Yang. Hu Yang. Hu Yang. How about
here we go.
This the real quick. Those ships remind me of dang dang a boom boom ding 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 dang dang a boom boom.
Who was that?
It's just a 50s song, just like at the bowling alley. Just, you know, yeah, give me a coke float. You have that music on the background, man.
Oh, man, with t-shirts with sleeves rolled up and jeans,
yeah,
with the legs rolled up and
pompadours,
yeah,
man, pompadours. Yeah, man, I want to watch
50s in space.
The Iron Giant. That's a good movie. If you like the nostalgia of the 50s, check out Iron Giant out there. I love that movie. Anyway.
Rosario Dawson and Natasha Liu Bordizzo, Ahsoka Tano and Sabine Wren, respectively, they do have my respect so far in this episode.
Yeah,
they
are doing. Oh, yeah. I didn't want to leave that out. She's Sabine, the character who played the actress who plays Sabine. She's getting it, man.
Yeah, good acting.
She's excited, and I like Daisy Ridley, but I mean, out of the two, because this feels like Daisy Ridley and what's his name? The one who hates Star Wars now. The one who was supposed to be a Jedi. What's his name?
He hates Star Wars now. John Boyega.
He doesn't feel like he likes it. He does. He feels like he's it, the way he comes
he got the
off.
The race treatment.
Yeah. The way he comes off to me is like he just I can't stand that. Anyway, so Finn. The scene with Finn and Daisy Ridley as they were flying in the Millennium Falcon.
Which I think this is also connected to, by the way.
It's connected
it's
to
the
that
same thing.
Because it's, yeah, that yeah. was connected to Han and Luke. And again, yeah. another useless chase in that movie as well. Like, dude, just go up out of the atmosphere and go into hyperspace. What are you doing? I don't understand why you guys are even down
100%,
here.
100%. Like, I agree with you on that. But man alive, I've got to give it to J.J. Abrams and all the people. Not, I shouldn't even say J.J. Abrams. He's not the only one responsible for the way the cinematography goes. That was well done, man. Let's take this ship over here. No, that ship is useless. It's a piece of junk. It's the Millennium Falcon. I thought the storytelling was great. I thought Finn and Rey's chemistry was good. And that's what's going on here, is that they're trying to build that same type of chemistry with Luke and Han and Obi-Wan going on in episode 4. Luke and C-3PO and Leia and Chewbacca in episode 5. They're trying to build that here. And I just wanted to say, don't be talking bad about my episode 7, because that scene was awesome with John Boyega and Daisy Ridley running full speed, like live action. That was
full
awesome to me.
Full speed, bro. I always tell people, man, try that in sand. Go to the sand, go to the beach, and try to run as fast as you can and see how far you can get, man. It's
they
hard.
They looked pretty good, man.
No, they
and
look great.
BB-8. Yeah.
They look great. Rolling.
Which, by the way, I want to say this. And I think I may have said it on the last episode of us talking about Ahsoka. Dude, no, I told Tracy, we were rolling in the car, and I said, dude, Chopper is the worst droid, because in episode 7, they came up with a completely different actual attractive sounding droid that was completely different from R2 in BB-8. So if they did a good job with BB-8, they can do a good job with another droid. Chopper, get a new voice, because BB-8 got one and it wasn't like R2. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm agree. Out. I agree. And by the way, this is borderline cinema here, what we're getting, this treatment here that they're giving this. And I really wish they would have just said, hey, let's just make a movie out of this Ahsoka character instead of making it into a TV show. Listeners, I don't agree with Disney Plus. I just don't agree with it. Unless you give us a show like Andor. Again, now that is fantastic. But Disney Plus giving us all, they're just, it's almost like, guys, you guys are taking the easy path, as it were. Like, no, stop mailing it in or phoning it in, whatever the expression is, where you take the easy route. Give us full-blown movies, and I'll respect you more for it. Rosario Dawson, they will polish her up if they actually put millions more dollars into it. And the cinematography, everything will be better. The directing will be better. It'll be one director. Wait, by the way, is there more than one director?
There's got to be. It's you're talking about who's writing the story versus who's directing it, and versus who's screenwriting.
For Ahsoka, is there more than one director for all 8 episodes?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm positive there is. That's just the way they do it at Disney.
Okay.
I mean, Obi-Wan was always Deborah Chow, I think. But let's look this up while we're on it, and then we can continue. So episode 1 director is going to be directed by John Dave Filoni. Written by Dave Filoni. Episode 2 was Steve Green directed. Dave Filoni wrote.
Trash.
Episode 3, Steve Green. We're here with Steve Green. I don't know who Steve Green is. Okay, let's go. Let's keep going. Dave Filoni wrote the entire season, by the way.
Oh, here we go with Ezra again. The nostalgia of Ezra Bridger.
Okay, I'm going to pause right there just to verify here. Obi-Wan Kenobi, when he flew out to go to Kamino, he had a hyperspace ring for his Jedi Starfighter, correct?
Yeah, a bunch of different Jedis did, even in the Clone Wars cartoon. Yeah, so hyperspace rings are common, and that's a normal thing, but this one is massive. And so they're going to power another ship. But in a way, this is good, by the way. I like this. The animation is great. Power rings are kind of dumb for big ships. Why would you need it for a big ship? Just build it with hyperspace capabilities, right?
Right. So there's got to be a payoff to why there's a huge hyperspace ring. They've got to be able to transport. Is it going to transport the ring itself, or are you going to shoot something through there?
Yeah.
Who knows? We'll find out.
And I did want to point out, too, this color grading. I know nobody cares about color grading. I'm just seeing Ken roll his eyes, man. The red trees with the red buttons inside this ship, that is amazing. That is just
The color grading is spectacular, and people do care about color grading. There may be people who don't know about it, but this is wonderfully done. I will give my hats off even to Obi-Wan Kenobi. The cinematography, or excuse me, the actual the digital of it,
yeah,
was well done. As far as color grading, they never fail on that. That's too easy.
Yeah, they never fail on that. They do such a good job on that, and we don't need them to continue doing just a good job on that. We need them to take bring their talent levels up on story writing. But we're getting a good story, it seems like, today on this particular episode. Let's keep going here. Let's move. Here we go.
Okay, so the Purgle Wells are being woven into actual live action canon. Okay, hyperspace.
Ah, this Jedi, the best one ever. Here he is.
Yeah, Ray Stevenson as Baylan Skull.
Okay, cool. That was a good episode. That was a quick episode. We made that way longer than it needed to be, only because it's a podcast.
But I'm going to be editing all this out, just so you know.
Okay, you're going to edit this one. Got you. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Interesting. I'm not sure how to feel about this episode all the way.
I think the storytelling was well done for who they're aiming this for, which is Star Wars Rebels fans. They are giving the fans exactly what Star Wars Rebels was about, and they're interweaving that with new Jedis. Baylan and Shin Hati and this other guy with the Guinevere helmet, Merrick, the Renaissance helmet.
I am the romantic Jedi with my Renaissance helmet. Romance.
I want to slay a dragon. But since there are no dragons here, I will slay these Purgle Wells.
Yes.
They will take me into the hyperspace rings.
And there you go. You've got the hyperspace rings. They're drawing it together back to Rebels. Because I think that's, if I'm remembering correctly, because I am not going back to watch those shows. The Wells helped them fly in hyperspace as well, I
think. Yeah.
And the Wolves, I can't remember. If you're listening to this podcast and you remember, please call us right now at 23. No, I'm just joking.
244-9999.
Anyway, so going back to this, yeah, I think this was a good episode. Yeah, I'm going to leave it right there. What do you think, man?
Good episode. I can't be troubled to break down every little piece of stupidity that they put in there, but again, they make up for a lot of it with the, in my opinion, the ships were kind of cool, except for the 1950 looking dogfighters. That looks weird. But those are fine. Again, seriously, don't want to break those down too much. Dude, can I get a tuna melt though? Some pepper jack cheese.
I'm gonna take a number here at the deli.
Yeah,
I'll take a pastrami.
On rye.
So right. Yeah, they're here at this planet. They're here with this ring, and okay, now they gave us the dialogue that says, "Oh, this is a ring that's so huge that it'll get you to the next galaxy." And it's like, oh, okay, there you go. That was the payoff, right? We just spoke
right,
about that.
Okay,
there's the payoff.
So. Talk to me about that. George Lucas never introduced another galaxy. It was just the galaxy.
Yeah, the galaxy. So he never introduced. And thank you for not introducing one, because now we can get into another one. And that, and can we just get away from these people? Can we get into the other galaxy? Go pick up Blue Guy. Bring him back to this galaxy and keep the other galaxy untainted. Just clean it up and just you guys stay over here. Take the Star Wars branding. Take the Star Wars branding to the other galaxy. Start there. Go there. No more. Make up another temple people. Don't call them Jedi. Call them something else. But they're similar to Jedi, and they don't have lightsabers. And just I love lightsabers. I love Jedi. I mean the ninth Jedi on Star Wars Visions. That should be where everything picks up. That should be, and don't tie it. Just don't tie it. Don't knot them together. Just, dude, they're not tied together. This is brand new. We're not even thinking about Yoda. We're not thinking about Baby Yoda. We're not thinking about Luke. Sorry, Luke. They jacked you up, bro. But you're you're done, man. Daisy Ridley, sorry. You are not a Skywalker. You're a Palpatine. Put that on her gravestone, please. You're a Palpatine.
And it lies, Rey. Skypatine.
Skypatine.
But her gravestone is over there. It's on a planet in the other galaxy.
No! How did she get over here? Get exactly. her out of this galaxy. Don't connect. Just get over to the next galaxy. C-3, sorry, man. Love you, bro. Stay there. R2, man, we wish you could come, but
okay,
stay.
Man. Now you're hurting my heartstrings, man. Never mess with 2 and 3, man. R2 and 3, bro.
Yeah.
Golden Droid Threeps. And Buckets, man. Buckets, come on. Yeah. Threeps and Buckets of Bolts,
But
man.
Here's the thing, man. If you bring them, they bring all the other detritus from the other galaxy with them. It's like, no, just stay there. Get Poe. Get back over there. Kick Poe back over there. No!
See, and that's just it, man. It all falls differently for all of us, dude. I really like Poe, Finn, Rey, and I want to say,
and the Knights of Ren, we like them too. Go ahead.
The Knights of Ren, who got their swords handed to them very politely. Here you go.
Yeah, here you go. Here's your big axe. Here's your big Buster sword. I don't even know why you're carrying that thing. You're about to get handled.
I'm about to handle you.
I'm a Buster carrying my Buster sword. That's why I'm carrying it, because I'm a Buster.
Your big Final Fantasy VII Buster sword, exactly. Okay, so we're looking here at Natasha Liu Bordizzo playing Sabine Wren. Man, may your comparison to Daisy Ridley, I'm gonna need all that to stop right here. Never speak of this again. She has not been given a scene. Natasha Liu Bordizzo, she has not been given the height, the altitude, the pressure that Daisy Ridley was given in some of the scenes in episodes 7 through 9.
Daisy Ridley's a fantastic actress, by the way.
So
but I just don't like how my gripe is not Daisy Ridley. My gripe is
the writing,
the character, the writing,
the Mary Suing. Yeah, and we're getting Mary Sued here, by the way.
And Mary
Sabine
Suing
is Mary Suing
is not just for girls though. It's for men too. If men didn't prove that they could be where they are, they're Mary Sues as well. So
there's a term for that too. I think it's just simply Bobby Sue or something. Johnny, like Bobby Mo. Joe.
Hey, this is
this is Bobby Joe.
Yeah, this is Simon Blue here.
I don't know.
I'm from the Appalachian Mountains.
Hey, I like the way you guys are talking. Maybe we can work a scene in where Mater just flies in and
backs
he's
up.
A part of Star Wars too.
He's just backing up the whole episode.
Disney execs, bro. That's the type of stuff. That's the stuff that they would suggest, yeah. Man, and have to get talked down. Like, no, bro. This is not Pixar.
Yeah,
this
just,
is Star Wars.
Go ahead and paint the moon to have Mater's face. You can see his
hey,
face.
Hey, man, to Mater. He could be up in this bad boy. Talking about Bobby Sue and Mary Jane.
Yeah.
All right, so here we go. I just wanted to put that out there that she has not been given the breath. She has not been given the stage on which to be able to have those tears pulled out of her eyes yet. We haven't seen that yet.
No, we haven't seen that yet. But she did a good job on this, fighting in the cockpit. With the 100%. Blasters, by the way, those are some clunky blasters, man. I'm gonna need these
Absolutely.
Ships to stop being so clunky. This is a galaxy far, far away. Your technology seems to be way up there. I appreciate the old stuff, like Nimix Manifesto. Nimix was using, and this is from Andor.
Andor.
He was using the old tech. Remember that to navigate. I appreciate that. Yeah, that's good. Nah, but not so much on a newer ship like Mace Windu
ship.
Yeah, the Star Wars. Get the clunk out of here, man. Get the clunk.
What was clunky about that ship again? What was it? The guns.
It's like just like the Millennium Falcon. Like, why is she sliding around and it's making noise? No. With every ship, does not every ship has to be clunky. There can be some ships that can be laser focused and there is no give. There's not 1 millimeter of give because they're built that perfectly.
Okay. I've got 2 ships for you. And we mentioned them on the last episode.
Fondor is one of them. Obviously the Fondor. Yep.
And the Naboo and Starfighter. There we go.
The
X-Wing fighters.
Boo.
Yeah.
Naboo. The X-Wing fighters are really cool because they're nostalgic, but those things are clunky. Millennium Falcon is definitely going to be number one, a fan favorite, because that's what's plastered in everybody's brain.
Yeah, that's definitely clunky.
It's super clunky. But, and then I think you probably would, you're basically bagging on the clunkiness of the ship to where you're saying that the Sandcrawler would probably be a better thing to drive in. It would be less clunky than this ship, is what you're saying.
Yes, the Sandcrawler.
No,
the Sandcrawler was absolutely clunky as well. So, but yeah, it's. I see what you're saying, and yeah, but and by the way, see, I'm picking it apart where I don't need to, because it doesn't add to the story. It's just effects and things like that.
All right, man.
Yeah, Star Wars, man. You already know me. I'm tired. I have lethargy. I have fatigue.
Lethargy.
Star Wars fatigue is real. The same with Marvel. I think the people who make Marvel are fatigued with Marvel. I think they're just like, no more, guys. I can't keep doing this.
Are you guys going to make Thanos? Is she going to come back?
Exactly.
Hopefully not for the next 10 years. Yeah. Hopefully I can go on vacation.
Yeah.
Just go to sleep.
How's Marvel going to come out? By the way, and I guess we're switching gears for just a second here.
Real quick before we switch over to Marvel, this theme, this outro song, just listen to it for 10 seconds. Let's give some opinion on the song.
Oh,
let's
shut it down. I can't even hear it anymore, but go ahead.
Oh, you can't hear that?
No, I can't hear it.
Okay, well, you know how it goes.
Yeah.
It's
beautiful.
The production quality is wonderful. I like it. It's great. Is it Star Wars to you, is my question?
Absolutely not. No, it's not Star Wars. It doesn't sound like Star Wars at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good and bad. There's pros and cons to that. Yeah. I like it. I like it. I actually like it. I just don't like the druid feel to it. Like, don't go into the hieroglyphs of the druid woods with these Stonehenge temples. Like I said in the last episode.
You did say that the last episode. Yeah, you don't like that. To me, I don't. I think that, but it's so, like, it just touches on it just so very little in my brain that I'm just like, whatever.
Got you. You're done. You watch the episode and you formed your opinions and you're done. You're not going to break this down to the nth degree and make money on YouTube by showing all the Easter eggs and the inconsistencies.
Oh my
and
goodness,
the
bro!
World.
I feel sorry for those people who do that. Like, bro, it's not that serious. It's just not.
They're just trying to make money.
Thing that's kind of that makes me irritated. It's like, dude, that just shows how disingenuous you really are about this. You don't really care about these things. You wouldn't just talk about them not making money. You have to make money to talk about them, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, Apple and Google and Amazon, they don't really care either. They just know that if they don't do it, somebody else will. So why not? That's what the YouTube guys are saying. Like, hey, who cares? This is a way to make money, an easy way to make money.
Thinking. Yeah, okay.
All right, man. So I totally interrupted you. Let's go ahead and let this be the last part, and I'm going to edit this podcast and slap it up on genxreverb.com.
Okay.
Or our podcast, rather, but go ahead and talk about MCU.
Terrible. It's terrible. I me personally, I'm tired of it. I don't care about it. Yay, Spider-Man. Okay, great. Great. Can we be done with him? Finally. Mm-hmm. Like,
right.
We don't need him anymore. But the thing is
in live action, we definitely need him from Sony.
We 100% need part 3 of Miles Morales. Yeah, no. I'll sit there and watch that anytime.
Give me another 10 of those bad boys, man, over the next couple of years.
Guess what? He's not a part of the MCU, though. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Extremely great storytelling over the course of how many years? And it's only just 2 movies so far. So they're not they're not setting themselves up for failure. They're setting themselves up for success. Whereas Marvel's, like, at first was untouchable, especially after Endgame. After Endgame destroyed Star Wars. Remember that? When we were, like, kind of a little mouths agape learning. We were kind of like, how in the world did Marvel beat Star Wars? How did that happen?
We were the Empire. We were the Empire, man, and the Death Star just got blown to smithereens. How did this happen?
How did it happen? But it happened, and I secretly was a little irritated. I'm not going to lie. I'm like,
Troy was on the cast, man.
Huh?
That was back when Troy was on the cast.
That was when we had...
When we were old Republic Radio.
Old Republic Radio. Yeah, we were making transmissions from Old Republic Radio. But here's the thing. I think that was the hubris that came to Marvel, the Marvel Studios. They were like, dude, in game, mic drop. We can't
We drop in mics up in here. We can't fail.
We can't
fail.
We
made the most money in the history of movie making, and nobody has beat us yet. Not even Avatar.
And then now, what did they make with Samuel Jackson? What was it, Alien Show?
Oh my gosh, they did not need to do that live action. Secret War.
Secret Invasion.
Secret Invasion. That, guys, I'm done talking about that. I'm not going to even say anything else about that anymore. We're done. Moving forward, unless you have anything else to say. That was terrible.
Okay, so can I, a spoiler alert here. If you've just tuned in, go ahead and shut this down if you don't want any spoilers from Secret Invasion. But I was listening to Movie Pitch Meeting Guy. He was hilarious.
I saw that one too.
Dude, Kira from Solo, Star Wars Story. She'll always be that to me because that's the only movie I've seen her in. Kira is a Skrull in the show, and she gains all the powers.
Yeah,
she at the very end. But how does she know how to? So she just secretly knows how to use everything. So she knows how to use Mantis's powers, even though she has no idea. She never met Mantis. I was like, bingo. It was terrible. The kids out there that have seen all these other characters, all the ones who were in Endgame, they know how the powers work. But how did Kira from Solo Story, who is a Skrull in this show, know how all the powers work? She's never seen these people before. So anyway, I just wanted to say that the inconsistency is dumb. Are
like
ridiculous.
I told you, it's not even worth. Just get out of there. Let's move away. Ant-Man. Okay, we're done. We're gonna do the full cast on that. Did we release that cast?
I have no idea, but MODOK is so, yeah.
Don't even go back and listen to our cast. It's trash. Not us, but just talking about Ant-Man was just a waste of time. And that's what I'm talking about, folks. Marvel is off the rails right now. They're obviously still going to make money, or at least they're still going to be living on the spoils from Endgame and other movies.
Living on the spoils.
Yeah, living on the spoils. But me personally, I would love to see a Silver Surfer standalone film that is redone with nothing with the Fantastic Four. I would love to see him. I'd love to see it from his perspective as the person he was before he became the Silver Surfer.
Okay.
And I think they could do it. And I also think they could just follow the cartoon. Like, just go to the cartoon and follow that as a template. And don't deviate. Don't try to come up with anything special. It's already told, and you guys can make it so good, and it will be an excellent story. It doesn't have to be Wave 5 going forward in the future. Nobody cares. I mean, nobody cares. That's not true, what I just said. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Billions of people where Captain Marvel, or not Captain Marvel, Tony Stark, Iron Man, and Captain America shirts constantly, T-shirts and...
So for casting on Silver Surfer, I had a good idea here. Since he's already played multiple people already in two Marvel productions. What's three?
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and get Chris Evans to be
Silver
Surfer.
Let's get Chris Evans. Let's throw him in there. He's no longer young. He's using Botox. He's an old guy that is still trying to look young. Let's use Chris Evans. Actually,
yeah,
you know
he was
what?
Firestorm Torch guy. Yeah, and Torch he was guy. Captain America. Yeah, man, let's go ahead and just let him be.
No. Let's get all kinds of woke on everybody, man. Let's use a black guy for
No. Let's use a black woman.
A black woman to be Silver Surfer. Yes. There you go. We are done. Bro, I'm going to have to end it here only because I got all these babies running around the house, and I know my wife's going to kick my butt later for making her have to deal with them out there. You guys, Gen X Reverb, Justin Bradley here. We're out.
Peace. Sky on your mind.